So our Bible reading is from Matthew's Gospel this evening. We're where we were last week, in Matthew chapter 11. And it's page 816 in the Pew Bible. Matthew 11, verse 25. Let's hear the words of Jesus. So come to me and I will give you rest. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So let's just do a quick recap from last week. So in verse 25, Jesus is giving thanks to the Father. And we discovered from Luke in his gospel that it was a prayer born out of joy. So if you remember, it was a prayer that followed the 72 returning to Jesus. And they were rejoicing at the wonderful things that they'd seen and they'd experienced. But Jesus immediately pointed them away from their earthly circumstances and pointed them to a heavenly reality. He pointed them to the joy of a heavenly reality. So do not rejoice in that, he said, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father. So we see that a little bit of context. The context for what Jesus says is joy and rejoicing. Luke says in that same hour. In that same hour. So in the same hour as the 72 returning, Jesus pointing them to that heavenly reality, in that same hour, Jesus prayed. And as he prayed, having pointed them to that heavenly reality, he prayed and gave us an insight into a heavenly relationship. No one knows the Son except the Father, he said. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And we noted last week, didn't we, that the word no one there makes it sound very much like an exclusive relationship. That is, until we read the whole of the verse, the rest of the verse. So no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So this seemingly exclusive, intimate, personal relationship between Jesus and his Father is in fact, through revelation, an open relationship. Through revelation, it's a shared relationship. It's a relationship we can partake in. It's a relationship we can be part of. We concluded really by saying that the rest that Jesus was about to invite people to experience was this relational rest. This relational rest of knowing the Father like he knows the Father and of being loved by the Father like he is loved by the Father. Listen to how Mike Reeves puts it. He says this, his relationship with the Father is the gospel and salvation he has to share with us. His relationship with the Father is the gospel and the salvation he has to share with us. And John, in his letter, defines eternal life in that relational way. He says, and this is eternal life. So he's defining eternal life for us. This is eternal life, that they know you. That they know you. It's relational, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So in summary of last week, in preparation for this week, our joy in salvation, our joy in service, is found originates in a heavenly reality and a heavenly relationship. So that was all sort of foundational stuff for this week. I said there was going to be 6 points to this sermon. Okay, so last week we did 2. I'd planned to preach the other 4 this week, but we're just going to be doing 1 of them tonight. Okay, so there's just so much in here. Okay, there's just so much in here. So we're just going to be doing the next part. So we saw Jesus giving thanks to the Father, and then we saw Jesus giving this insight, and then tonight this is all we'll get to do really. Jesus giving an invitation in the first part of verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. So what one thing, if you took it from the Church of Jesus Christ, would cause it to come crashing down? What one thing would cause a crash of that proportion? Well, quite obviously, it's the rota's notice board. Okay, want to cause chaos in the Church of Jesus Christ? Okay, steal the rota's list, or take out the most important person in the church, the person who writes the rota's list. I guess I need to say, for those listening online, I said that with a smile on my face, on my tongue, in my cheek. How many people do you think were involved in getting us ready for today? How many people do you think it took to put on these 2 services today? Think admin, think musical, think technical, think welcome, think catering, think junior church, think cleaning, think caretaking, think lifts and minibus, think hospitality, think prayer meetings. It's a lot of people, isn't it? There's just so much that needs to be done in a busy church schedule. There's so many necessary duties to perform, so many meetings to go to, so many minutes to write. And we've only got limited time, limited people, limited space, limited budget. And then throw into that mix the commitment of work and family, the pressures of 21st century life, the frailties of our bodies, the quirks of our personalities, the sinfulness of our hearts, and what you have there is a recipe. All of those kind of ingredients brought together, what you have there is a recipe for the tiredness cake. You have the recipe for what could be baked into the bitterness cake, or the angry cake, or the jealousy cake, or the fatigue cake, or the burnout cake. Churches are great at making cakes, aren't they? They really are great at making. I think you could actually do a program called The Great Churches Bake Off. I think that would actually work. And I think actually we would do pretty well if that was a competition. But sadly, we're great at making these other kind of cakes too. And here's the issue we kind of began to touch on last week. So many the Christians, including pastors, who have come to Jesus, who have had the burden of their sins lifted, who have come to rest in Jesus for their soul's salvation, over time find themselves burdened and heavy-hearted and exhausted in service. Something's gone wrong with Jesus. Got it wrong. You know, our real life Christian experience demands us to examine the words of Jesus here further. What was Jesus really saying here? Because our Christian experience doesn't always look like it sounds like here. Sometimes the opposite seems to be true. So our Christian service is more of a duty than a joy, or a drag rather than a delight, heavy rather than light, hard rather than easy, tiring rather than restful. So we've begun to scratch the surface of this. So tonight I want us to dig a little bit deeper. So John Hindley, in his book called Serving Without sinking. I mentioned that to you last week. He really homes in on this relational aspect of Christianity. Some of the chapter titles in that book give that away. So one of the chapters is called We're Friends with the Boss. One of the chapters is called The Bride of the King, We're the Bride of the King. And then there's another chapter called We're Sons of the Father. Now, as you read through that chapter, as he leads us through that story, he brings out some really fascinating insights. As he homes in on the parable of the prodigal son. I've always had a little bit of a problem with the title of that parable. I think it would be much better called the parable of the running father. What is that story really about? It's a story of two sons, not one son. It's a story of two sons who have both had a relationship with their father. One of the sons was out and out rebellious. The other son was out and out religious. But both of them were out of relationship with their father. Both of them needed a relationship restored. And John really homes in on that in that book. And a reviewer of John's book must have been particularly gripped by what he said there, because this is what he wrote. He says, imagine it's the day after the younger son returned home. So are you imagining that? It's the day after the son returned home. The father asked the two sons to help with the harvest. The younger son springs up with joy. He is amazed. He can enjoy the father's love. He relishes the work of swinging the scythe for the father who loves him so much. This is Christian service, he says. It makes you smile. It truly is an easy yoke. What does the older brother do? He asks. Maybe he works too, but bitterly, angrily, joylessly. He serves, but he does not smile. Do you know, I think Christians can all too easily begin to suffer from what I'm going to call older brother syndrome. Older brother syndrome. With the focus shifting from who I am to what I do. Shifting from the blessing of relationship to the burden of responsibility. There was a time when the only thing that the younger son really wanted from his father was his father's stuff. That's where the story began. But in the end of the story, he realized that all he really needed was the father's love. And what was it that took him on that journey? From wanting the father's stuff to realizing he needed only the father's love. What took him on that journey? What brought him to that relational realization? What brought him to that place where he would have been able to come home and serve with joy? It was humility. He was made lowly and gentle. He reached the point where he was ready to confess, I don't deserve to be called a son. Just make me a hired servant in your household. But we know the story well. The running father would hear none of it. You are my son. Come and enjoy the warmth of my welcome. Come and receive the provision of my estate. Come and be blessed by the joy and the security of being home. And what did the father say to the complaining, the bitter, the resentful older son? What did he say to him? Do you know, in effect, he said the same. He went out to him. He wasn't running this time, but he went out to his son. He went to meet the older son. And what did he give the older son? He gave him an invitation. Come to the party. Come on in. Come on, son. Come and enjoy the celebration of this restored relationship. Come and enjoy. Don't miss out on the happiness of being part of this amazing family. Come and be re-energized. Come and be refueled. Come and be revitalized through sharing and experiencing and celebrating the beauty and the power of grace in action. It was the invitation, the pleading, the entreating of the father to the older son. And I think that story of the prodigal son, the story of the running father, helps us to see that the loss of joy often comes through the loss of relationship. There's a relationship breakdown that leads to a loss of joy. And that really comes through at the heart of Jesus' invitation. It's a relational invitation. What is Jesus inviting us to? He's inviting us to discover or rediscover the joy and the wonder of being part of God's family, of knowing the Father, of experiencing, sharing the beauty and the power of His grace in action. So Jesus says, come to me. That's deeply and profoundly relational. Come to me. And that's not only an invitation, that's a personal invitation. So it's not just come, it's come to me. Jesus is the only way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Access to the Father, adoption by the Father, approval by the Father are all found through Jesus. Come to me. It's the only way for you to find that relational rest in the family of God. Heavy burdened, tired people need to listen to Jesus. He's not got a rebuke for them. He's not got a rebuke for tired, burdened, heavy-hearted, exhausted people. So it's not a rebuke. It's not kind of, what have you been playing at getting yourself into this state? It's not a rebuke. It's not a lecture. You must try harder. It's not a self-help solution. Here's a four-point plan to discover true joy. It's not a list of rules to follow. You should do this and you should do that. It's quite simply and quite beautifully an invitation. Come. It's a personal invitation. Come to me. And it's an open invitation. Come to me all. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. The only qualification here is that you're burdened in some way. And aren't we all burdened in some way? Friends, I need you to know. I want you to understand that He has got you and your burdens covered here. The words we've read tonight from Jesus are an invitation from Him to you. It's personal, it's relational. I think the story of Mary and Martha really can contribute so much to our thoughts here. You'll remember the story well, when you Luke 10, 38 to 42. Of course, there are things that need to be done in the kitchen. But Jesus is in the lounge. Do you remember those words of Jesus to Martha? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I think something had been taken away from Martha, though. What had she lost in that moment? What had Martha lost? She'd lost her joy. She was distracted. She became bitter. She started complaining. Martha, come into the lounge. Jesus is here. I can't. Nobody's done the breakfast dishes. Jesus, tell Mary off. Tell her to come and help me. Tell her to come and do the chores. Friends, Jesus invites us to come to him with our heaviest burdens, but to come gently and humbly, like the younger son, and like Mary, who was willing to sit at his feet. In fact, he's going to go on in verse 29 to say, be like me, in my humility. So come, but come in humility. Come humbly. I guess here's the tragedy in the face of this invitation. So often we're just too distracted, we're too busy, we're too preoccupied, we're too opinionated about what others should be doing. When really there's only one thing needed, and that's for us to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. That's Martha syndrome, older brother syndrome. This is Martha syndrome. It's not meant to be like that. Burdened by the rota rather than being energized by the relationship. Let me show you, just let me take a few minutes to show you how easy it is to become burdened in serving the Lord. Let me show you how easy it is to become burdened in serving the Lord. And let me show you how many ways there are to become burdened in serving the Lord. I want to do that because I want to expose them. I want to do that because I want to guard your hearts against them. You're going to recognize at least some of these. You may be even here tonight carrying some of these burdens. Some of them are external factors, some of them are internal factors. So, serving can be burdensome when. Okay, that's how we're going to do it. Serving can become burdensome when. Serving can become burdensome when we do too much and we do it for too long. I don't know if you ever watched the World's Strongest Man. These really big guys lifting heavy weights over certain distances. But even so, even though they're all tough, they have their limitations. They're not all as strong as each other. They can't all carry the same weight over the same distance. And that's true of us too. We have our limitations. You know, motives can be really good here. But this really is an area which is notorious for robbing people of their joy. They're just doing too much. They're wearing themselves out. As one of my old members used to say to me, listen to your body. Listen to your body. Serving can become burdensome when we do it without a break. Rest is God given. There's this healthy rhythm of work and rest, of rest and work. It's God given. It's a blessing. It's what we're trying to model with the junior church, this month on, month off model. There's a healthy rhythm of work and rest. Serving can become burdensome when we're doing the wrong job. I grew up in a really small church. My dad planted a church, and it really grew out of our family. But in smaller churches, out of necessity, people have to do jobs they're not great at and don't enjoy doing. That shouldn't be the norm in a church of our size. We shouldn't be burdened with that kind of problem. Serving can become burdensome when we insist on doing it alone. So again, motives here can be really good. Intentions can be good. That kind of no fuss, just get on with it kind of approach. There's much to be said for that. But there is a danger in that. And the danger is one of becoming disconnected from the body. Fingers don't work well in isolation from the hand. It's the same in the church. So those who go it alone, those who work in isolation, there's no one close enough to encourage you. There's no one close enough to hold you accountable. Those in isolation can sometimes begin to long for people to notice them, for people to see the hard work they're putting in behind the scenes. Or they begin to bemoan the fact that there's no one helping them. The dangers of serving in isolation. God has designed the body to share the load. I'm going to stray a little bit into next week's sermon now, but serving can become burdensome when we refuse not only to share the load with others, but when we refuse to share the load with Jesus. Okay. One of the reasons that Jesus could say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light is because we're yoked to Jesus. It's because of who we're yoked to. We're yoked to Jesus. We become co-workers with him. He can bring his presence and his energy like no one or nothing else can to our service. So with Jesus, yoked to Jesus, we can serve long and hard and more and in trying circumstances and in the midst of opposition and with a smile on our face. Just with the realization that Jesus is working with us. Martin Luther said this, Christ's burden is light because he helps us to bear it. And when it becomes too heavy for us, he puts himself under the load with us. And then there's those self-inflicted, those self-made burdens of serving with wrong motives. So we really needn't carry these kind of burdens, but we end up carrying them. So serving, trying to earn something, like recognition. Or serving, trying to prove something, like I was right. Or serving, trying to impress someone, like I'll show you. Serving, trying to beat someone, like I'll do it better than them. When we do that, we weigh ourselves down with unholy ambition. We put ourselves under the weight of this kind of pressure to perform. We could add many more things to that list, and sadly, we do. These burdens we need not carry. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that next time. Friends, can you see how easy it is for serving Christians to become burdened again? Can you see how easy it is? Can you see that the potential to become burdened is great? And if the potential is great, then so is the likelihood that there are burdened people here tonight. And you know I'm glad there's burdened people here tonight because I've got a beautiful invitation for you. Are you one of those people? You're one of those people tired, weary, heavy-hearted, heavy-laden, weighed down, exhausted. Will you listen up for a few moments? Whoever it is that is burdened tonight, whatever it is, that you're burdened with. However many burdens you have, however heavy those burdens may be, will you hear these words of Jesus? Will you hear this invitation? And please don't despise the invitation because of its simplicity. Will you hear it? Will you believe it? Will you respond to it? Because in doing so, is the rest that your heart so longs for. It's not just an invitation, it's a personal invitation. It's not just a personal invitation, it's an open invitation. It's from Jesus, it's to you, here it comes. Come to me. come to me. Come to me, all you who are laden, weary, burdened, struggling. Come to me. I want us just to pause, kind of, we're coming to a close, but I want us to pause. I just want to give you some moments just to reflect on some of the things that we've been thinking about tonight. Maybe even just take those moments to pray. Did you come? Did you come to Jesus? Maybe if you didn't come, it's because you've got doubts. Doubts about his willingness and his ability to lift your particular burden. Jesus proved on the cross the extent to which he was prepared to go to lift our burdens. There on the cross, arms open wide, taking on himself the full weight of our sin and the full force of the Father's wrath. He couldn't have gone any further to prove the extent of his willingness and his ability to lift the heaviest of our burdens. The Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross, lovingly and willingly bearing the heaviness of our sin so that we might enjoy the lightness and the rest of a restored relationship with the Father, of a saving co-worker relationship with the Son, and a lively, vibrant, sanctifying relationship with the Spirit. Jesus could not have done any more to prove the genuineness of his willingness and his ability to receive your burdens. Your burdens are safe in his hands. The cross leaves us with no room for doubting or delay. There's just one thing that's needed. There's just one thing that is necessary. And that's for you to come. Let me read to you those verses from a paraphrase. It just really helps the meaning kind of jump out in a fresh way. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. And work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Can I invite you to respond to the words of Jesus? Can I ask you to do that as we just close with a prayer? Just as we bow our heads, can I invite you to come to Jesus? If you're in the pigsty tonight, you're full of sin, you're bankrupt in your soul, you're filled with guilt and fear and condemnation and failure, Can I invite you to respond to the words of Jesus, to come to Him? Only Jesus can deal with the burden of your sin. Only Jesus will wash them clean. Only Jesus has the power to deal with them eternally. If you're in the kitchen, like Martha was, busied about, just caught up with the size, the scale of things that need to be done, bound by the rota, can I call you out of the kitchen and into the lounge? Would you come and sit at the feet of Jesus? Lord, whether it's the rest of forgiveness or the rest of a restored relationship or the rest of being freed from legalism or the rest of being released from duty-bound service or rest that we need in service or rest that we need from service, we pray even now by your Spirit you would empower us to come to you and find our rest in you. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless this body of your believers here. Would you help us to serve you as our delight? We pray you'd help us to serve you with progress and joy in the faith. And for any here tonight who do not yet know you, Lord, may they not find any rest until they find their rest in Jesus. Lord, would you hear our prayers? Would you come and bless us with rest? Would you come and lift our burdens? Would you come and energize our serving? Would you put a smile on our faces? Would you put a spring in our steps? Would you put a song on our lips? Help us to live this life in the joy of all the Father has done for us. All the Son has done for us. All that He's promised to do. All that He is. Lord, transform us with those liberating gospel truths, we pray. We pray that even now, as we sing, in Jesus' name, amen.